Passover starts tonight. It's a big Jewish holiday, not just for the meaning, but also for the food.
Well, the matzah balls, gefilte fish, best old dish I ever had.
Nothing says Passover like a good bowl of matzah ball soup, or so I'm told. I'd never actually tried any matzah ball soup until just a few days ago.
Hi, Ms. Nathan. Ooh. Hey, Steve Inske.
How are you? Wow.
I'm okay.
It's a pleasure to have you to show you about matzo balls.
We went to visit Joan Nathan, author, chef, and grande dame of Jewish cooking. There was a reason we arrived at her house on a perfect spring day. I mean a reason beyond the good company and good food in her kitchen. The food tells a story. The Jewish holiday of Passover celebrates a story in the Bible, part of the great story of Jews enslaved in Egypt. If you're not a Bible reader, that's okay. Just think of it as part of the plot of Charlton Heston's Ten Commandments.
Let my people go.
It's really the defining story of Judaism. Everybody in some way can identify with it, Jewish or not. You know, so somebody said, what is it? We got out of Egypt, let's eat.
Yeah.
And I like the tradition of going back to a lot of these old recipes that have been here for centuries and centuries, and sort of realizing who I am and where I came from.
The Passover meal, known as a Seder, is all about remembering Jewish history. Much of the food is deeply symbolic. Matzah represents the unleavened bread the Jews ate while fleeing Egypt.
And horseradish is a symbol of the bitterness of slavery.
I bet there's lots of us who have not seen a chunk of horseradish like this before. It looks like a chunk of wood, basically.
Right. Just okay. Take a little bit
just
of it.
Bite right off of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be bitter.
Wow. A shyness clearing experience.
That's what you're supposed to have.
Ah.
Do you want some water?
Yeah. So that was a chunk of horseradish.
Horseradish root.
Okay. I actually teared up a little bit.
Good. I think you do very well at our Seder.
So where does matzah fit in?
In the Bible, I believe it's the book of Exodus, it says that you must only eat unleavened bread. And of course, this is machine matzah, 19th century. Before that, in most towns, there'd be a big oven there. And they would buy, let's say I had five children, I would buy maybe 5 pounds of matzah. And of course, some of them would crumble. And with the crumbled matzah, you would make matzah balls.
Oh, leftovers.
And, you know, the matzo balls were never called matzo balls before. They were called knödel, K-N-O-E-D-E-L. And they were dumplings that were German in the 12th century or 11th century. The Germans, the Austrians, the Alsatians used these big dumplings and soups that were made out of bread. Then they went east when Jews went to Poland, and they called them knedlach. And then they came to this country, and the Manischewitz company boxed them in the 1930s, and they called them Alsatian feathery balls. And my guess is that comedians, vaudeville, said they're matzo balls. So would you like to learn to make them?
I would love to.
Oh, great.
Joan Nathan's recipe for matzo ball soup starts with matzo meal and 4 eggs.
So this, you
beating the eggs here.
A lot of people use a mix when they're making their matzo balls. The mix has baking powder in it. And that's why they float so beautifully. Mm. Because there's a lot of jokes about floaters and sinkers. I lived in Israel when I was very young, and I worked for the mayor of Jerusalem. Mm. And Golda Meir was known for her sinkers. And
the
they
Prime
were
Minister
really the hardest matzo balls you can imagine.
So is the sinking matzo ball considered to be better or worse than the floating?
Well, it depends on what your mother made. Then the other thing I do is...
We got a big pot here, okay.
Right, and I just took it out of the refrigerator. If I'm making chicken soup, the fat rises.
Okay, so you're scooping out some chicken fat.
A lot of people make schmaltz, which is chicken fat, but I just use what comes off the top.
You just taught me the real definition of schmaltz, which is a word that I use in a completely different context.
We added schmaltz to the matzo meal and the eggs. Then we rolled them into balls, maybe the size of a golf ball or smaller.
Oh, you are very good. And make it bigger than mine because I was making them too small.
Okay.
A little bit smaller than a walnut, I'd say.
It was a little large.
Very good.
A little oversized.
It's okay. A lot of people like the big.
Are they floaters or sinkers?
Well, the proof is in the eating, I think.
Cook them in water on a stove. Give them 15 minutes or so, and then drop them in a bowl of chicken soup.
They look pretty good, don't they? Here, I'll give you two. Bigger one and a smaller one. Looks pretty, doesn't it?
And they were just about all floaters. It's very tasty. So when people do sit down to eat the matzo balls at Passover, do they say bon appetit? L'chaim? Anything?
L'chaim. Yeah, l'chaim. L'chaim.
Well, there we go. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
In the chicken soup, and I don't mean chicken noodle soup, I mean a giant pot of chicken soup with a chicken in it, the matzo gives you that hearty feeling that you get from turkey on Thanksgiving, which is the kind of family gathering that Nathan will host tonight. Although instead of football on TV, they will have children performing the Bible stories that Passover is meant to remember. Joan Nathan's new book is titled Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous, My Search for Jewish Cooking in France.